The following is a presentation of Uninterrupted Canada. Welcome to the Benny and Bo Show with your hosts, Ben Hebert and Bo Levi Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back to the third ever episode of the Benny and Bo Show. Man, I'm excited. Here's why. It's sunny outside. I get to hit the patio, hit the restaurant, and we've been hitting a decent amount of golfing.
Things are opening up. We even got to rip a couple rounds last 2 weeks since we've had you on the show. We got to play a couple men's nights. We got some bad news, though. Bo always sucks.
I'm always brutal out there at men's night for some reason. I don't know what it is.
And I am leaking oil.
What's going on with you? What is it?
Oh, it's golf, man. Golf's hard. Although, here's what. Our men's night's nine holes, Lakeside and Chestermere. I chop it around for nine. We wheel into the snack shack after nine. Quick 40 creek down the hatch. One under on the back nine last week. I was rallying. Maybe I just got to get a little loose, get those hips through.
It's the swing oil, baby. Like, as soon as I got that in me, it was drive 10. So 10 is about a 320-yard par 4.
Little flex there. Let everyone know how far he hits it.
No, it's a red pin. It was downwind. It was nothing. It was a little, little slight flex. I hit it to about 8 feet. My partner hits it to about, Guthy hits it to about 10 feet. Shows me the line. I missed the putt. But lo and behold, the bunt of the group over here.
I was 275 down the middle. I had a 30-yard chip.
Yeah, and he chips it to an inch.
Well, I thought I had to make it because
Bo
was 6 feet in there for eagle. I'm like, man, he's gonna snare me here. So I thought I would jug it, but I missed it by an inch. Tap in birdie. There's a lot of ways to make a birdie out there.
And you knew I wasn't going to make it.
You're a terrible putter. That's what me and Bo been up to. We've been playing some golf. We've been getting some patios. It's been beautiful. Whole whack of stuff's been going on in the world of sports since the last time we talked. My Lakers got bounced.
Whoa. I know you're hurting.
Well, they couldn't run it back. I thought LeBron and the boys were going to run it back. They got bounced by the Suns. NHL action has been out of control. There's been upsets, suspensions. But we're not going to talk about the NHL because we got the NHL insider with joining us in a little bit. We're going to get to that in a little while. John Rahm, COVID.
Oh.
That was a disaster.
I mean, hey, how well did he handle it, though? He handled it a million times better than I would, let me tell you that. 1.7 mil.
Yeah, that hurts.
I need that.
Yeah, so he was going to win a tournament. He got bounced because of the Rona. That sucked. But the one thing that kind of caught my eye the last couple weeks, I thought it was some good conversation piece that I want to ask you about. Okay. We actually watched it together. Was the Mayweather versus Logan Paul YouTube fight boxing escapade, whatever the hell it was. I want to get your opinion on that.
Okay, first off, I'm sorry you had to pay for it.
Yeah, Bo comes over. He's,
hey, that was brutal. I mean, what's making me mad about this is I'm a fan of McGregor, okay? The mass marketing build up this hype of I hate you, you hate me. Now everybody's like, oh, I can't wait. They're going to knock each other's heads off. And the fight never lives up to it. And you pay so much money. And I mean it's not a lot of money. You pay, $50, whatever it is.
Not a lot of money.
But they're
you.
Making $100 million off this fight, and you're like, they made $100 million off that?
Well, and who's the winner of the whole fight? Like, I know there was no winner, but who wins in a situation like that? Like, I feel like it hurts boxing.
Yeah.
I feel like it didn't exactly pan out great for Mayweather when you're supposed to be one of the best boxers of all time and you can't knock out a YouTuber. They win.
Yeah.
The Paul brothers, they win again. Like, I don't even know what a YouTuber is.
I know what a YouTuber is. I'm not.
Hey, by the way, we're on YouTube. Check us out, Benny and Bo Show. We're on YouTube. But like, I don't even know what a YouTuber is.
I mean, I don't know where they came from. But what I will say is they took what McGregor does and they're doing it as YouTubers. They're doing it as streamers. Guys, they create a podcast. They're driving around. They're trying to get other YouTubers mad, taking their stuff. I mean, it is what they're doing is, hey, I got to give you credit. Very smart. If I wanted to try to get in the ring with Floyd Money Mayweather, it's not going to happen. It doesn't matter who I am.
No, you're right.
But when you have 100 million followers like he does, they said, hey, this is what we're going to do, and they made it happen.
They're marketing gurus, and to his defense, like, he didn't look that bad in there. Obviously, they do know how to box a little bit, and you fight a guy way smaller than you. Like, I was a little bit impressed by him, but I was more disappointed in Mayweather if I had to go down the road.
I have to ask you, though. I have to ask, okay? The conspiracy theories are out there. There's no judges. There's no winner. You only win by TKO. Did you feel like Mayweather knocked him out and then held him up?
I saw that shit on the internet. Like, I saw it, right? Yeah. So I saw it. Well, here's what I think. That guy is like 6'4", 240, ripped. Mayweather's little guy. I don't know if he was knocked out. So he knocked him out. I don't think he could dead weight hold him.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not, not asleep. But what I found is now when I watch it, and anytime you watch a sport back in slow-mo, you have a different perspective of it. I watch him go down, and anytime Logan Paul grabbed him, it seemed like he's trying to just, slow him down for a little bit. Let me survive this fight. That time, I saw Mayweather hook that left arm under and hold him up. And the one thing you and I did comment on a lot watching that fight, it seemed like they were talking to each other a lot.
Yeah, they were whispering sweet nothings.
Yeah.
How are we going to make this entertaining? I think if boxing is in such a situation that they need to sell one of their oldest like champions from years ago versus a YouTuber to keep up with, let's just throw it out there, the UFC, because the UFC's lapping their ass. Now I feel like you're in a bit of trouble as a sport. I mean, if Logan Paul comes to you and goes, hey, boys, I want to get in there on the 5-yard line. You know what I mean? Run the rock.
Yeah, like if you ask the NFL that question, you know, put me on the Baltimore Ravens. Let me run in from the 5-yard line. I'll bring you 100 million viewers for that game. They're going to be like, yeah, we don't really need it, bud.
No.
But you know who does? CFL. So, yes. Hey, Logan, Jake, come play running back for me on the 5-yard line. I got you. We need that 30 mil.
Exactly. I don't care. Logan Paul, Jake Paul, Shonda Paul, none of them are getting a shot in the NFL. CFL, hey, you guys want to come to the curling world, lob a couple guards, we'll take your 50 schmil any day. But the big sports, and that's why I think boxing's leaking a little bit of oil to have to go down that route.
You know what it reminds you of?
Oh, yeah. It's unreal.
Pros versus Joes, the TV show.
Spike TV.
Oh, yeah.
I used to watch it. I used to be like, I'm not great at anything, but I'm pretty good at everything. I think I could dabble and do okay on this show.
No, you're right. You're not great at anything.
No, I'm really not. I got a question for you.
Okay.
You go on any other sport, football side, you jump in the ring, you go tee it. Well, you're saying it's going to be golf, but
it's not going to be in the ring.
No, it ain't going to be in the ring. Where could
you? Been in a fight one time and I lost that.
I could see that. Where could you stand out the least in any pro sport where they wouldn't be like, that guy doesn't really belong?
I mean, honestly, probably baseball. Like, I could be an MLB catcher. I'm no Yadier Molina, but I will say my brother threw 93 miles an hour. He's 6'6". I've caught for him multiple times in my life. I've caught my entire life playing baseball. I think baseball, like I said, I'm not stepping in the batter's box against 97. I know that. But playing catcher, I can get out there and I can make it happen.
You'd probably be real cute as a bullpen catcher. That'd be as close as
you'd
ever
get. I'd like that better. Just, yep. Nice throw, baby. Nice throw. Kind of, you know, check out the stands a little bit.
Yeah. How about my little pros versus Joe experience 10 days ago?
Yeah. So this guy tries to come out and, we get a workout in all together and we're like, all right, hey, we'll see you later. Me and Colton are going to the sand. No. I want to come. I'm coming to the sand.
This is like for reference, one of Bo's receivers we were working out. They're going to do some sand work agility. I'm like, boys, play junior football. I got agility. I got this.
Yeah, so he tells Colton, he said, hey, don't worry. I'll just get out there and shadow you, you know, make it easy. Colton gives him a little shimmy shimmy.
This wasn't no California sand we were running. Chestermere Lake sand doesn't hold 215. I'm 215 feeling pretty good right now. I go through the sand, not the big toe, the one beside the big toe, through into the clay, broken toe. I'm in a goddamn splint right now trying to go pros versus Joes.
Guys, y'all know how good this was. He literally has his toe taped up right now. The best experience possible.
And, you know, I have a way worse experience talking about pros versus Joes. A few years ago, I think about 3 years ago now, I get asked to go play a hockey game with the Calgary Flames alum here in Calgary. And I play some rec league.
All retired guys?
All retired guys. You know, I play some rec league, A league, but you know, when you're in the A league of rec, you think you're a bit of a sniper. I'm really good at lunch hour downtown oil and gas hockey.
I've seen you play rec league and I've never seen you touch the net.
Oh no, I'm good in rec league. So I get out there and it's like, Lanny McDonald, Curtis Glencross, Corey Sarch, Robin Regier, Marty Jelena, like guys that weren't that far removed and they're in their 30s and they're, you know, pretty good shape still. But I was like, wow, they haven't played. I'm probably going to go out there. Probably going to be really impressed with my game. And I get out there and I couldn't believe the skill level of these guys. It was like whipping it tape to tape. And when it wasn't on the tape, if it's in your skates, just boot it up. I'm like, if they whipped it that hard into my skates, that's called a dump in. These guys are picking it up off their wheels, whipping it back. And they're like, if they didn't want to let me touch the puck, I would not have touched the puck. And then the first thing I thought of, like from athlete perspective, I'm like, if this is what these guys look like right now, I couldn't believe what the real guys look like right now. The guys that are still playing rolling. So I had a much bigger, you know, respect for how fast that is at pace. Because if you would have asked me that question before that, I would have said where I would stand out the least, throw me on the power play with the Sedin brothers. They're going to bank one in off my shinnies. I'll score 20-25 like any other winger that plays with them. I'll be just fine in the show. Now, we all know that is complete bullshit after that. However, our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, was across the ice that day from me, across the red line, And let me just whip through a couple of his accolades.
No, don't do all of them, please.
No, we don't have that much time. NCAA champ, North Dakota. Stanley Cup champ, Carolina Hurricanes. World champ, representing Canada. His buddies, by the way, call him the champ. I don't know if that is his own nickname he gave himself, but I've actually seen his buddies call him the champ. He's an absolute monster entertainer. I love this guy, the NHL insider. Mike Commodore, welcome to the Benny and Bo Show, brother.
What's up? What's going on? Benny, I wanted to run you so bad in that alumni game, but I thought I'd pump the brakes. I'm like, I don't want to be rude. He's excited to be out here. I don't want to take a run out. Plus, I'm a little overweight. I probably couldn't have got there anyways. But
calm down. I wish you would have.
From our side, you actually weren't that bad. You were better than I thought. I've never seen you skate before.
True.
Well, you were better than I thought you were going to be.
I do really appreciate that. And I think my teammates that I was with on the other side were so bad, they made me look a little deadly. So, I mean, I did go bar down once that game. I wasn't going to bring it up. But now that Mike threw it out there, I'm going to self-pump it a little bit.
Oh, God.
Mikey, what's going down? You're down in Phoenix right now?
Yeah, down in Phoenix. I've been here, been here since November. I kind of took off when that whatever number lockdown that was coming in November, when that was when that was right around the corner. I'm like, you know what? I am out of here. And I jumped on a plane and came down here, and I've been hanging out down here ever since.
I love it. Hey, Mike.
If you're overweight, though, it's 115. You should be dropping a little bit there, eh?
I know. All I got to do is go for a walk in the afternoons here, and I'll be losing some pounds.
You're sweating it out. Mikey, I want to hit you up. Normally, we'll wait till the end of a pod or a show to do some rapid-fire questions. I'm hitting with you right out of the gates of the current NHL playoffs. The surprise team of the playoffs to you?
Montreal.
The biggest disappointment?
Edmonton.
Yeah, good. I like it. And I want to get your opinion because I saw you get into some heat on the Twitter wagon, and I couldn't agree more with you, but I want you to dive in and give you your perspective of the speed of the game and new rules versus old rules on the Scheifele suspension, which I think cost the Jets big time.
Yeah, I did. Watching the game now, like just even comparing it. So I've been done for 7 years. I want to say my last game in the NHL was 9 years ago, maybe. And I will say just watching the game, I'm like, now there's still some guys that are playing that I played against. So I'm like, at the end of the day, I would like to think that if I was, you know, 10 years, 15 years younger, I would like to think I could still play. But watching it, I'm like, man, like watching that Colorado Vegas series, I'm like, these guys are flying. I'm like, I don't know if I could hang out there. I don't know. Maybe if I was, maybe. I'd like to think I can, but there is some doubt there. As far as that hit, look, I mean, I didn't even look at my mentions after I tweeted that. I went back and forth. I was actually sitting in Hermosa Beach in California at Teddy Purcell's place. Teddy played in Edmonton. I played with him a little bit right at the end of my career in Tampa. And we were watching the game just kind of BSing. And then that happened. And we were both like, oh, my God. I'm like, is that guy dead? And
he looked dead.
I thought he was dead. And I asked Benny, I'm like, that's a terrible hit, right? And he looked at me like, God, football players are soft. And everybody at the table was like, no, that hit was amazing. Like, keep your head up. Okay.
Like, so when we were watching it, so I looked at it and I went back and forth. I'm like, okay, if I'm going to tweet something about this, I know I'm going to get torched. Montreal fans are crazy. And I have a few because I used to speak French. So I have a few followers. They're not going to like this. But, I mean, we watched it a couple times. And look, if Evans was the kid's last name, I mean, if Evans' goal, I mean, if he was looking to sacrifice his body to score an empty net goal, then all the power to him. Mission accomplished. But, I mean, he didn't really look over his shoulder. He checked once at the blue line. It's an icing that's not going to happen. It's a 6-on-5. So there's 6 Winnipeg Jets out there. It's the playoffs, and it's the last minute of the game. Like, I'm like, does this guy think that everybody's just going to stop playing and change? So he gets that puck. Once he gets below the circles, he doesn't look at all. He's staring at the puck, and he comes around, and I'm like, that isn't the right play. Like, honestly, I think he would have got smoked in a 10:30 p.m. men's league game doing that.
I'm going after it, especially when we're losing and I'm a little angry. I'm hot at the end of the game. He's getting it.
100%. Like, so I was like, you can't, like, I hope the kid's okay. And I said that because I don't like seeing anybody get hurt for sure. And if he was trying to sacrifice his body to score an empty netter, which I ended up, I mean, that was the play of the series. Scheifele's out, kind of killed Winnipeg's momentum. They ended up sweeping them, winning in four. I mean, if that was his goal, mission accomplished. Great job. But if he like did that thinking that he shouldn't get hit, like I was sitting there and somebody made the comment on TV or something like, yeah, he's got concussion problems. I'm like, well, no shit, this guy has concussion. if you skate around the ice there and the puck the whole time, you're going to have concussion problems. And like Scheifele, in my opinion, when I watched it a couple more times, and I know it's the charging and stuff, but it's like, okay, like distance traveled to make a hit. I'm like, okay, well then, I mean, you basically almost every hit could be a charge. Like he has to get back to try and play, to try and stop the goal.
Yeah.
So he's got to skate, and he didn't take a stride from the top of the circles to the goal line. Like if he would have kept going, Evans wouldn't have even got to the goal line. He would have turned up and he would have got absolutely destroyed into the end boards. So, like I said, it was unfortunate. It was kind of a weird, like I've never seen that before. I've never seen anybody like turn up behind the net, staring at the puck and like you're not going to get hit. Or,
well, I mean, like I said, now you know why I don't play any hockey, because I'm sure that's exactly what everybody would do to me, because I wouldn't be able to look up. There's no way I'd be able to control the puck. But I do want to ask this. So I've wanted every level, just like yourself, slight flex, the champ. But we all know the DNA it takes to have a championship team. You know what I mean? Like, you know that DNA. You had that locker room. You had the camaraderie. You had that championship DNA. You know what that is. We've all lost and won at every level here. With the four teams left right now, I mean, I know you're just watching on TV. You're not in the locker room. But do you see that championship DNA with any of these four teams right now?
I mean, you'd have to say yes to Tampa, because it's basically the same team as last year, and they won last year. So, like, if I had to pick a team that I thought out of the last four that was going to win, I know they literally just lost game one to the Islanders, and the Islanders are gritty. But if I had to pick, I would say Tampa. I mean, I guess if I had to rank them, and I haven't looked at the odds, but I would imagine probably before this game, I would say out of the four teams, I'd say probably Tampa's the favorite. Vegas is number two. The Islanders three, Montreal four. That would be probably my guess. But yeah, I guess I would go with Tampa, like without being in that locker room. I mean, I always thought like the key on the teams that I was on that were where we were good and we won something. I always thought like the biggest thing, or one of the big things anyways, was like, don't ever panic. Like, I know it's a cliche, don't ever get too high or too low, but it's true. It's like, okay, we won the game. That's great. Or something happens in the game and let's say it goes our way. That's great, but let's just keep motoring forward and just kind of keep it on an even keel. And that's probably the one thing that I noticed probably on the teams that I was on that were successful. It was like, no matter what happened, good or bad, it was like, hey, we can handle it, whatever it is. And we just keep moving forward and keep with our game plan and keep doing what we're doing. And so, yeah, I would say Tampa. I think they're going to be tough to beat, even though they lost game one, but you never know. I mean, like I said, I thought Toronto was going to dust Montreal. Well, that didn't work out. I thought Winnipeg was going to steamroll them. Well, that didn't work out. They swept them. So I think Vegas is going to steamroll them, but I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Montreal won. They look pretty good. You got Carey Price in net. He's playing like he was 7 years ago. So if that keeps up, anything can happen, but we'll see.
Yeah, he's looking good. Mikey, I want to touch on something. You've been like a social media guru, a bit of a wizard here the last few years with your you know, your NHL insider breaking trades, you know, pack your shit, getting in one, all that jazz. Like, where did that all come from? And I'm curious on the back end of it, if you've had NBC, ABC, these companies coming at you for a gig to actually do some work for them, is that something that you want to do? Like, has it transpired into anything besides just having some fun?
No, that's a good question. I mean, all of it has basically come in. One came from, like, I said something on a spit and chiclets thing, and I just said I was in one in Russia. I was having a few beers or whatever. So that kind of, and then people kind of hashtagged it or whatever on, I'm like, oh, okay. People seem to like this. The pack your shit was, honestly, it was basically the same thing. I was just kind of, to be honest, I was screwing around. That was like probably 5 years ago, the trade deadline stuff, the insider. To be honest, I was just totally screwing around. And the first time I did it, I was like, I was on my way, like, oh, that was going to golf later that day, or at least go hit balls. And I started just kind of messing around or whatever. And it started to really get some traction. And I was like, wow. I'm like, so I didn't leave my house for 3 days. I was all over it. But this year, the insider had to take the year off for a couple reasons, actually. One was until the playoffs started, I really hadn't watched a whole lot of hockey down here in Phoenix. Not what I normally do when I'm in Calgary. But then two, I also had a raging case of gout and I was like, my foot was killing me. And I'm like, I know it's just checking the internet and your phone, but like, I couldn't walk. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even feel like putting in the effort in right now. My foot, my toe feels like it's going to explode. So I took the year off. But so honestly, all it's ever been is clowning. I've never had anything from NBC or anything like that. When I first retired, I had an opportunity to go do like some games, in Toronto for Sportsnet. And it was a good opportunity, but just to be completely honest, I had just retired, being completely, completely honest. I was a little bit bitter, you know, I'm done. I don't think I should be done or whatever. And I honestly did not want to watch hockey and I didn't want to go on national TV if I haven't been paying attention and you know, you don't know all the players on the ice and look like a jackass on national TV. So the timing wasn't good. I'm no longer bitter. That's been gone for years now. I do watch hockey. Like if I wanted to do a job like that, I would have, like, you got to get into it. Like you got to, like, I enjoy watching hockey. No doubt about it. I love the game. I like watching it more like a casual fan. If I'm going to go on TV, like you got to read all the daily clippings. You got to know all the players. I mean, you have to have your, you know, finger on the pulse of the league a little bit. And I just haven't gotten there. So I don't know. And plus I didn't want to travel. I traveled for 14 years. I played for 14 different teams. I never stayed in the same place. And I'm like, all I wanted to do was just chill out in Phoenix and try and play golf. The last thing I wanted to be doing would be running out to Toronto every other weekend or whatever they had planned. So the timing.
Yeah, hey, you're not just the insider. Like I agree with you. I'm a casual fan as well. You know, Houston Aeros, try to keep up as much as I can, but we don't really get a lot of their games up here. But yeah, but you're not just the insider. And the gout probably wasn't there when this happened. But, you know, Benny told me a little story. I know when I retire, the feet are getting kicked up or I'm outside golfing. But you didn't do that. You threw on a snowsuit and went and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. First of all, what is wrong with you?
It wasn't my idea. There was this nice lady who worked for Detroit in the front office. Her name's Erin. And after I retired, she was like, I probably did this probably 2 years after I retired. I did Kilimanjaro. So she came to me and she's like, hey, Mike, do you want to be involved? She was involved with a couple of these charities, like for veterans and fallen warriors and stuff. And, you know, the military is always something I respect a ton. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to be involved. And like the first one was like, it was a triathlon. She's like, you want to come do a triathlon for the Duskin and Stevens Foundations? I'm like, Erin, I go, I can ride a bike. No problem. Run. I can do that. No problem. I'm like, swim?
Sink.
I mean, I can swim to save my life, maybe 30 yards. I'm like, if I'm going to be, what is it, like a mile in the water? I'm like, Erin, I'll drown. Like, there's no way I'm going to make it. I sink. I do not float. So I'm like, no. Then the next thing she was like, well, we're doing this cross-country motorbike going from like San Diego to Washington, D.C. I'm like, Erin, that sounds awesome. I've been on a dirt bike once and I almost put myself through the end of the garage. I've never been on a motorbike since. I don't know how to ride the thing, so I can't. So the third thing, she's like, what about Mount Kilimanjaro? I'm like, Erin, I'm like, do I look like I have mountaineering skills? I'm like, no. She's like, all it is hiking. I go, seriously, just hiking? You just got to walk? She's like, there's no mountaineering skills needed whatsoever. So I'm like, okay. So it was like a year out and I'm like, yeah, I'll do it, Erin. Sure. Sounds good. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden, now it's like 2 months away. She's like, hey, you ready to go? You got your flight? I'm like, shit, I really have to do this. So
there was no prep for it?
No training?
Just like, I mean, the usual stuff I do. I mean, I work out. I try and work out every day if I'm not hungover just to keep myself sort of together. Like, try and burn calories. I try to keep it under 250. If I keep myself under 250, I'm okay. I'm not an embarrassment when I go out. And no training whatsoever. We went and got my gear and got all this stuff. And long story super short, I wasn't all that pumped to do it. Like going over there, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm going to Africa? I've never been to Africa. I'm climbing a fucking mountain. I could care less about hiking. I never hike. Oh, this man is the first time that I've ever really hiked. And it's the highest peak that you can hike in the world. But you know what? It was actually a really cool experience. We were 8 days on the mountain. Long story short, I mean, it's pretty cool because you go from like literally like the jungle. You start in the rainforest. And by the end, you're up at the top of the mountain. It's snowing, so it's cold. So you need like clothes for everything. But it was cool. There were 2 days that were hard. The second day was tough because it was raining and it was humid. And I was like, I mean, I was just soaked. And that day sucked. And then the summit day, I will say, was probably was one of the harder days of my life, I'd say. It was basically we were up at 3 a.m. We went up to the summit. It was 9 hours to get up there. We summited at noon, and it was basically straight up the mountain. But you're moving slow. Like they're saying there, I think it's like Pele, I think is what it's called. It means slow, slow. So like the pace, the overall pace of your walking for the whole thing, you have a guy in front of you and a guy behind. Like if you were to walk a lap of the track at the pace that you do it, it would probably take you 3 to 4 minutes minimum to get one lap of the track. So you're not going fast, but the whole thing is the altitude. But it was a good experience. Like I had no idea that people really cared about this stuff. But then I got back and like I tweeted about it a little bit. And then guys at the golf club here were like, man, that's awesome. I've always wanted to do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, yeah, I did it. It was cool. You should do it. Make sure you have a good guide. That's the last. You can go there, and if you get one of the cheap guides, you try and save money, they can like screw you and say, oh, yeah, sorry, the summit isn't open. We can't get around. You don't know what you're doing. So you go all the way over there and you don't summit. The guys we had were awesome. Food was sick. It was overall a good time.
Yeah, that's a great experience. What's more physically demanding, winning the Stanley Cup, running that with your team, or climbing the mountain?
I will say the Stanley Cup overall. I mean, the Stanley Cup is like 2 months after a full season. And you can get beat up. I mean, at the end of the day, there were a couple hard days getting up Kilimanjaro, but I was tired for sure, but I wasn't hurt. So like I'll that. Go with yeah. the top still. But
I like that answer. Okay, Mike, before you came on here, me and Bo were chatting about this. I don't know if you ever remember the show called Pros versus Joes, where dudes off the street went and played against like Shaq, Ray Lewis, yeah. like, you know.
I remember the show, yeah.
Right, so you've been pretty fortunate to be able to play some golf, I know, with some professionals. You were saying a couple months ago you got to tee it up with Ricky Fowler, who's one of my yeah. favorite golfers. How much of a Joe were you in that situation? And talk to me about playing at the level of those guys at a professional level compared to you, and you're a pretty good player yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's to be complete. I'm in Calgary at the place I play, Earl Grey, I'm a 1-2 handicap. At Whisper Rock, I'm a 4-5 handicap. Overall, I am a decent golfer for sure. I actually just had a good round yesterday. I shot a 72 at Whisper Rock, which is my best round in a long time by a mile. But I can also go out there and lose 15 balls and shoot 110 if we're playing by the rules of golf.
Like yeah. me, okay.
Bo has that game.
Yeah. I've got that at Lakeside, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, but when it goes OB, you pound it OB. I've seen it before. it goes out hot.
Yeah.
I will say, like, they are playing. So I played a decent amount of golf, quite a bit of golf with Max Homa, and I played a couple rounds with Ricky. They're not playing the same game we are, to be brutally honest. Like, Ricky had missed the cut here in Phoenix, and I was going to go. I wasn't going to golf that day. So it was Saturday of the Phoenix Open, just this past one. And Joe, I'm really good buddies with Ricky's caddy. Joe's like, hey, do you want to play golf tomorrow? I'm like, ah, not really. And he's like, Ricky's coming. He wants you to come. I'm like, ah, okay, yeah, sure, I'll play. So jumped on the cart with him or whatever. And, you know, it's just like you two, I enjoy watching golf. I love golf. I think it's a great game. Like, I'm a fan. So it's a big deal. Like, I don't get to play with Ricky Fowler every day. So we go, and we're playing the back tees. Not back, like 7,600 yards, but the black tees are like 72, 73. We can play from there. It's long, but we can play from there. And so, I mean, it was Ricky's just hitting driver every hole. So for the first couple holes, I was like, hey, Rick, like, hey, I know you've been out here before, but it's been a while. Like, probably don't want to hit driver there. And he just kind of looked at me. He's like, hey, Mike, I'm just going to pound driver all day. I'm like, hey, you know what? Go right ahead.
That's my kind of golfer. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So there was like holes, like even from the black tees where like I don't hit driver. And I'm because it just gets too narrow. And so I hit like a 3-wood or a 3-iron or something. And he's just roasting drivers. And, like, you know, he's got like 30 yards to work with maybe. And he didn't miss it. Like, it was on grass the entire time. So, like, they're, I would say the biggest, like, difference. Well, it's all different. But if I had to pick one part of it that's, like, glaring, obviously they hit it harder and they hit it further and straighter and everything like that. But I would say compared to us, like, you get the guys like that inside of 150 yards or around the greens. And, I mean, they are – if they ain't hitting it 10, 15 feet, they're pissed. And chipping and putt – some of the guys aren't as great of putters as you think, but, like, chipping especially is, like, like Ricky was like, put himself, because like I said, he's just sending it all day. Like it's driver and it's at the flag. There is no defense going on in this round of golf for him. So he ended up a couple times in like kind of a tough spot, like chipping. He either, you know, missed it a little bit or hit it too far or whatever. And like up and down. I'm like, I'd be sitting there watching him and thinking in my head, I'm like, man, this is a tough shot. And he gets hits it to 3 feet. And I mean, we didn't even make him putt. I mean, I'm not going to insult him like that. I'm like, that's good, Rick. Get it out of here. But yeah, no, it was cool. Like I got to play with Max Homa yesterday or 2 days ago now. Sorry. And that's really fun. Like, you know what, Max, and I actually give him a lot of credit too. Cause I'm like, I'm trying to put it in like my perspective. And I know golf is a different game from hockey, but I'm like, you know, like if I was still playing in the NHL, like I ain't playing men's league games.
No, you're not coming out to Chestermere Lake and whipping the puck around with me. No,
we asked him about it.
No offense, but if I was playing, you guys can kiss my ass. I ain't coming. I'm in the NHL. So with Max, like I probably played 30 rounds of golf with Max, like 20 to 30 rounds of golf. And I'm like, you know, and I played good the other day. I kept it in the 70s, which is good for me. But I, you know, we've gone out to Palma Valley in San Diego. And I mean, I don't even know what I shot. It was in the 90s. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I mean, part of him must just be like, what am I doing? But he's the greatest dude ever. He's fun to play with. Like, if you got a question, like golf stuff, like he's happy to help. I really can't say enough good things about him. He is an awesome dude.
Yeah, he got a bit of a bump from us. I know you helped us get him on the show there.
I listened to you guys' podcast there when you had him on just a couple days ago.
Yeah,
he was awesome, man. And then he goes out and gets tied for sixth at the Memorial. So my phone was blown up, goes, your boy Max is tied for third. He's tied. I'm like, I don't know if he's my boy, but he was on our show and he's playing great. So I was pumped.
Oh, I definitely was like, yeah, no, it's my best friend. And yeah, he's playing really great because of us.
And I did bet on him. Mikey, we're going to go into our little gambling section here. We'd like to have you on. We got you here. We're doing sure. NHL and we're doing golf. You're sticking around. Okay. Give us some insider picks.
You okay with that?
I don't know how insider they are, but I'll definitely give you some picks.
I love it.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Hey, Donation Station is brought to you by DraftKings. Don't forget NBA playoffs, $20,000 cold, hard cash throughout the entire playoffs every single day in total prizes. Go to DraftKings.com and make sure you use Benny and Bo for the promo code. Don't forget, eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Nailed it.
Now, listen to this. We've got the insider. He's here. We're going to talk a little U.S. Open, and here's how we're going to do it, okay? I'm the only one here that has success in this. I might be the worst golfer on this podcast right now at the moment.
That's not might. He's by far the worst golfer on this podcast.
But I dress the best, and I have a great time. I never get mad like this guy over here. He gets three. He gets three putter. I got a quick one for you. He gets three putters painted from a boy here in Tommy, and smashes the pin like hole three, dents the putter.
Brand new putter.
Oh, yeah.
You do get a little heated out there.
I get a little. I'm not good enough to get that mad. And after hearing your story about playing with the pros, I'm going to reel it in and just be who I am on the course.
I can't wait to see it.
Okay, I love it.
So, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to go, I want you to pick, Kami, a top 10, a winner, okay. And then we're going to pick, do something a little bit different we did last time. We're going to pick a top tier guy that's going to miss the cut because we both picked DJ and Justin to win it. They both missed the cut at the PGA. So we're like, hey, why don't we do that as a bet? Let's pick a top tier guy to miss the cut. So we can, how do you want to start it? You want to go?
Yeah, I'll start because in case you already have the picks that I have, I want to make sure I get ahead of you here. So I'll go with mine. So who I'm taking to win the whole thing, and I'm going off a little bit of karma, felt a bit bad for him. And I actually watched the Saturday round where he just nuked the golf ball and was in total control until the COVID got him. And I just saw two negative tests. John Rahm, I'm taking to, I think John Rahm's never won a major. Is that correct?
Just so you know,
that's correct.
I am taking John Rahm to win the US Open.
So he is the favorite at plus 1200.
Is he?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm taking him, and
way to really go off the beaten path there, bud.
I didn't see the odds. I'm going off what I saw with my eyes.
DraftKings, here you go. Our guy talking betting doesn't even look at the odds.
Mikey, who are you taking?
Okay, I do like that pick. I like John Rahm. I actually got to play golf with him earlier this year, too. Wow.
Jesus.
I was his partner. I literally didn't have to do shit. It was the easiest round of golf ever. I'm like, what I do does not matter. I like that. My only thing with Rahm would be if they test positive for COVID, I think they're supposed to I don't know what he's doing. I have no idea. But like, you're supposed to quarantine, I think, for 10 days.
Yeah, he,
like,
he got two.
He was supposed to stay in Columbus. Maybe he didn't. I don't know.
He got two negative tests, so he's able to play. That's why.
No, okay. No, I know he can play, but like, I'm talking about getting out to swing golf.
I thought COVID didn't exist in the United States from what I see on TV. So he was out there nuking it, boys.
Yeah, but COVID's been out of Arizona for a long time down here. But to the point, I am going to go with, no, I'm not really going on a limb here either, but I'm going to go with Dustin Johnson.
God, you too.
That guy gave, I mean, he's a good pick any week on any course. I get that. But I think he's been playing. I saw a quote somewhere where he thinks, like, right now he's playing some of the best golf that he has, which I find kind of hard to believe because that guy's gone on some streaks where it's insane. But he seems like he likes his game. He likes where he's at. So I am going to go with DJ to win.
Way to go out on a limb there, Mike.
Well,
look at you two.
He's number two.
Look at that. What do you got there,
ladies and gentlemen? Top two favorites. That's who they take. I'm going way down the list at plus 4,900. And this is why. Since he has come, he has been amazing, especially in the majors. I'm going Willie the Thrilly Zalatoris. Tied for sixth in the U.S. Open 2020. Man, he went tied for second there. He obviously, you know, really close on the Masters. This guy shows up, man. He's one of the best ball strikers out there. He shows up. I took him for my lock of the week as a top 10 guy. I was going to do the same and go top 10 here. And I go, you know what? I bet him top 10. He took it. I think he's going to go out there. Let's get it done. Let's give our fans a bet they can be proud of making. Not saying they picked John Rahm, the favorite, and he won.
I'm not arguing it. I'm just going to say if someone hits it, good cash. You're going to win big money with Uncle Bo this week.
Great
it looks
cash.
Like, okay?
Okay, let's jump to our top 10.
So our top 10, and I know this is not going to be a popular pick with the fans because this guy, he's a little bit of a villain. But he loves hard golf courses. No, Brooksy's not a villain. Brooksy's an animal.
I know who's coming here.
He knows. And I love him because he plays great at good courses. He's got a great body. If you look at mine, he's similar build. We're going with Patrick Reed.
Kind of like a triangle.
And he does well in majors, and he's won, I think, only one major, but he's always seems to be in the hunt. I'm going to go Patrick Reed, and he pays pretty good, too.
I can't say anything against it. I personally like Patrick Reed. I understand he's cheated in college. I get it. His teammates don't like him. Hey, I've used the foot wedge a time or two. All right. Now, was I in the Masters when I did it? No, I wasn't. But I love the helicopter driver on 18 to win the Masters. I had so much respect when he did that, and I'm a fan. I like the pick.
I like that pick, too, to be honest. He's on my, like, you know, I got three or four guys that I kind of like to win, but I'll take DJ as number one, but I actually have Reed. Reed just won at Torrey Pines too.
There you go.
The last time they had a tournament. So he can play there. He's won there. He's got the one major. So I do like that. For me, I am going to go now maybe a little bit biased, especially after what I just said a couple minutes ago, but I am going to go with Mr. Max Homa.
I knew that was coming.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's no big surprise, but I'm not just doing this because I like him. He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to Joe. And I was probably going to find my ball or something, but I was walking by and him and Joe were talking about the US Open coming up. And I overheard him say, you know what? I think this is to date, this is my best chance to win a major. So he feels good about it. He likes the golf course, California kid. So I'm going with Max Homa.
Boys,
you heard
that
it.
That is the insider right there.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need right here. We need guys like this. So we appreciate that. I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path here. I mean, not really. I mean, it's just it's not a popular name. You know what I mean? But for me, it's Shane Lowry. 2016, tied for second. His last eight starts, four top tens. Okay. His last two starts, tied for fourth at the PGA and tied for sixth at the Memorial. I mean, guys, I mean, this guy, he's always up there. And it's kind of a silly thing, but you know how they post the names, they have the flags next to it. I always look for the American or the Canadian there. I'm like, oh, where's the top Canadian? Who's the Americans there? You always see Shane Lowry, like the flag's just there. I'm like, it always sticks out. I'm like, he's always up there and I never bet him in anything. So I looked him up and I was like, a lot of people are talking about him. I'm like, all right, I like Shane.
Another guy with a great body. Love that frame.
Another great body. Yeah, it's a good pick, though.
I want to see a big boy get out there and win it.
He can play. I like that. Boys, we're on to something hot here. I'm going to get on the old computer. I'm going to get it on DraftKings after this and start sprinkling because I'm feeling good about all these picks, to be honest with you. But now our negative picks, and we're picking top guys that we think aren't going to miss.
Negative, but fun.
Right? Like PGA, I took Dustin, missed cut. You took Justin Thomas, missed cut. So we thought this would be a fun one to do. I love this guy. He's one of my favorite golfers. I'm taking Rory McIlroy to miss the cut. And here's why. I've been watching him a lot lately. He always seems to struggle out of the gates. Whatever it is, his first round, he's kind of brutal. And then he's fighting back. He just kind of squeaks in on the cut number, lights it up Saturday, Sunday, finishes top 20, top 30. But he's so far back, he's just kind of playing to play. Like, there's no pressure. I think if Rory gets too far behind and struggles out of the gates on Thursday, that course is going to be really tough to have 5, 6, 7 birdies on Friday to get yourself back into it. So as much as I love Rory, and now that I picked him to miss the cut, he's probably going to win the tournament. I'm taking Rory McIlroy to miss the cut.
Don't protect yourself like that. I don't like that.
I'm not protecting.
Hey, fans, we're coming here to tell you who's going to miss the cut. I don't want to go, oh, now that I did this, he's going to win. No, this is who's missing the cut.
What do you got there, Kwame?
Okay, mine, I don't know if you, well, I guess, I mean, he world ranking wise, he's not going to be way up there, but he's a top name in the game. He's been around for a long time, and he just set the age record for the oldest player ever to win a major. And he's never won the US Open. It's the only tournament out of the Grand Slam there that he hasn't won. He screwed it up there at Wingfoot. He's been second a ton. But I am going with Phil Mickelson to miss the cut. And, well, a couple reasons why. But the main one would be, I remember them saying at the PGA when the guys, and I played that Kiowa course, and it is, to guys like us, that course is hard. To those guys, I remember them talking about, well, it's forgiving off the tee. I don't remember that, but to those guys where they're hitting it, it was forgiving off the tee. Phil's thing is, like, obviously around the greens, he's unreal. Off the tee is usually his issue. He can start spraying it a little bit. Torrey Pines is going to be tight. That rough is going to be long. The fairways are going to be narrow. And if he gets a little sideways, I just can't see it happening. And then with all the pressure, he's in his hometown.
Oh, yeah.
So I can definitely see that. Phil Mickelson.
And I gotta think Phil's been doing a little celebrating. He took a couple days off his intermittent fasting to get in what the Mikey would call in one.
Yes.
Celebrating his PGA championship. I mean, you got to celebrate all your wins, and especially when you're in your 50s, you win a major. I don't know how much work he's getting put in, so that's a great.
Yeah, game. I mean, I think it's awesome because he got the pressure off of him, but, you know, that can, I think Philly thrives when the pressure's on.
What do you got there, Big Cat?
I'm going to go somebody that obviously came out of their slump. They've been doing great lately. They've been playing a lot, winning a lot, maybe not the best history at Torrey over the last three starts with a missed cut, a tied for 65th, and another missed cut. I'm going Jordan Spieth. Okay, some people are picking him to win. I'm picking him to see you later, kid.
Well, hey, these are hard bets. We're trying to pick top dogs that miss the cut. I hate it. I will not be dabbling with that, but I like where you're going with it.
Hey, you got to go with it, though.
You did your homework.
I did. And, hey, you know, I want to see Ricky up there. Obviously, he's not there this week. I want to see him back. I love the Max Homa pick. Yeah, you didn't really go off the beaten path there at all, taking the 31st ranked world player, your best friend Max Homa, and the number two ranked player.
It's my buddy, but I'm telling you, I might have said Max anyways, to be brutally honest, but I swear to God, fingers crossed, I heard him say that, and I'm like, I'll tell you what, I mean, and he's smashing it right now. Now, I understand it's just playing with Joes like myself, and, I mean, playing with me is a joke, so there's zero pressure, but, I mean, he is smashing it, and he likes the course, and he feels great, and that's good enough for me.
All right, so we have you here. We have the insider. Listen, I'm not going to dabble in this one. You don't want to hear my picks. Nobody else does either, so I'm going to let the two hockey guys here go. The champ, the chump, let's get it done. Give me your winning teams for this weekend. Let's see. Or are you going parlay?
No, just who's going to win. I think we bet what two series is here, Western Conference, Eastern Conference, if they're calling it right now, what are they calling these? Like Western Conference, Eastern Conference Championships, like –
kind of tough with a different year.
Like the division.
Okay.
The division.
The semifinals.
That's right.
Who are we betting on the semifinals?
So I'm on the Islanders wagon, and I've been on their wagon since the start of it. I've been betting on them. You know, my buddy Jordan Eberle's on that team. I actually talked to him last week about, you know, keeping the pedal down. The only chance I'm getting near the Stanley Cup is if he brings it in this studio. So I'm riding the Islanders. They look good, and I think they can beat Tampa Bay. I think they're hungry. I think it's super, super tough to go back-to-back in the NHL, even with the same team. Guys are hungry. That, you know, when you already have something, You know, you're not quite as hungry as the guys that don't have it, right? So I'm going with the Islanders there. And this pick's going completely off the board. But they upset Toronto. Then they upset the Jets. And Carey Price is steaming Willie Beeman right now.
You're doing it.
Yeah, I'm going with the Habs because a hot goalie sometimes can take you all the way to the cup finals, as Mike knows when Mika Kiprasov took him and the boys all the way to the cup final, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so I'm riding Carey Price. They're both upsets, and they both pay big. So I'm looking to hit the Islanders and the Habs for the Stanley Cup final.
That's my kind of bet. I'm making it right now.
Go ahead, Mikey. I don't know if you can top that.
Real easy for me. You know what? I'll do the opposite. I know.
Both the favorites. Weird.
I am going to go the exact opposite. I had no idea what you were picking, Ben. We never talked about this at all. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. I get it with the you've done it once. It's hard to do again. And maybe the drive isn't quite there. I get that. But I think Tampa Bay can play with anyone any way they want to play. So I will take Tampa. And look, like I said earlier, I thought Toronto was going to dust Montreal. They didn't. I thought Winnipeg was going to dust Montreal. They didn't. I think Vegas is going to beat Montreal. I think it could be. I mean, from what I saw out of that call, I mean, I thought that Colorado Vegas series could have been the cup finals, to be honest with you. So I will take Vegas. And I actually think it'll be pretty quick, too. I'll take Vegas. Ooh. I'll even say Vegas in five.
I got a well-rested Montreal Canadiens team after the sweep, sitting there, getting their injuries all healed up. And like he said, that Colorado series was banging. It was fast.
That was a great series.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're both going to be great series. And at this point, all four teams could easily win the cup. They're great. But I love my bets, and I love that we're going head-to-head.
I love both bets. And just for the fans out there, if you want to bet with Benny right there, plus 360, plus 215, and a total of plus 1349 to take both the upsets. I like it.
I'm going to sprinkle.
Islanders-Montreal final would be...
That would be crazy.
Would have been zero people on the planet would have called that.
I mean, it's been a bit of a weird year, okay?
Just a little bit.
Let's just stick with it for one more. Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Well, hey, that's our picks. Mike, Kami, I can't believe it, man. I've got to golf with you once. I broke my driver doing it. I was embarrassed. I want to get back out on Earl Grey whenever you get back out here, man. But thank you so much for coming out.
No, anytime. Hopefully these borders, hopefully the Canadian government gets it together and gets rid of this quarantine.
Don't get us shut down on the show already.
Oh, no. I won't get you shut down, but let's get rid of these quarantines and I'll be home. It looks like maybe July 1st. So as soon as I get home, let's get out and play some golf.
Can't wait, buddy. Thanks again for coming on. You're great. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon when you get back.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Hey, bro.
Thanks,
brother. Cheers.
Take it easy.
Oh, man, I could talk to him all day.
Oh, my God.
He's got the best stories. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our third episode of the Benny and Bo Show. Thank you very much to DraftKings Uninterrupted Canada. Check us out, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, social podcast, shoot us your questions at BennyandBo@uninterrupted.com. Don't forget, check us out on the socials, man. But guess what? We'll see you in a couple weeks.
You've been listening to the Benny and Bo Show, a presentation of Uninterrupted Canada.